everybody. I don't know about fineness, but one of braise anyway. Tiniest. Who said that? Amen. Amen. God is good all the time. It's great to come out and just share the word with you guys. It's been a long time since I've been out here. But it's nonetheless, it's still great to come out and share a word, encouragement and blessing. And what I want to just share, just really, we were you know, worshiping there and just seeking God there. But it just dropped on my heart just to share some of my testimony, because it hasn't been something that I've done in a long time. But it just dropped on my heart there to share some of my testimony about, you know, what I've been through in life, about where God has taken me from. And I just want to tie it into the word if I can. But, you know, just really dropped in my heart when we were worshiping there to just share some part of my testimony and try and get people into context, try and get people into an awareness that God can change a life. And he still is changing lives. I work for Tig Lynn Challenge, which myself and Sean are involved with. So it's Philip there. He's gone, is he? He's in the room. Philip's one of our guys. You know, I see it on a daily basis, God changing lives. Sean's going to kill me for sharing some of his story here, but I'll share it anyway. The first night I met Sean, he came in from one of the hostels in town, wasn't it, Sean? And kind of very much broken, very much in a broken place. And the intake was going on, and one of the guys tried to take, Sean has a sugar problem, he needs to keep his sugar levels up. And he took sweets off, but Sean didn't realise that you can get other sweets. He just wasn't allowed chewing gums in the house. And he blew a gasket anyway. And fish tanks and all were going out the window and the whole lot. And he ended up having to leg it out of the place and all that kind of stuff. But he came back and now look at him, you know what I mean? I just see tremendous change in your life, Sean, you know. But God can do that. God can take a broken life and he can fix it. Amen. God can take a broken life and he can fix it. And that's part of my story this morning. I want to share a bit about the way the Lord can provide a way out for everybody. He can give us salvation that we think we can't possibly own or can't possibly have. And a lot of the times, especially when we don't know much about Christianity or anything like that, we feel, and we have it in our own hearts, that God has nothing to do with us. And there's no way ever that we can have any hope in God setting us free. We don't have a chance. We literally think in our own hearts that we don't have a look in with God. That God could never, ever come into my situation and change it. Coming back to my own story, I remember my sister was a Christian, and she'd come in and she'd put tracks there, you know, here and there, and she'd put a book in my way and all that kind of stuff. I just laughed my head off her. And I used to think that she was absolutely gaga mad. And I used to, you know, make fun of what she was involved in, make fun of the, you know, God, you're coming in, you're talking about God, what's God going to ever do for anybody? There's no such thing as God. And you're coming in here and you're sharing things and you're doing this and you're doing that, and it's all a load of rubbish. And that was when I was about 15 or 16. I started to get involved with smoking hash and taking drugs. And you know, I was still fighting these things that God could have nothing to do with me. That me and God are a million miles away from each other. And there was nothing that anybody could ever help me, and especially anything that God had to offer. And so 16, 17, 18, I started taking heroin, got strung out on heroin. Life went downhill after that, seriously downhill. I had serious mental problems. I had a nervous breakdown in the middle of it all. My head exploded. I'd never dealt with things in my life. My mother died when I was very, very young, and never dealt with that pain, never dealt with the grieving process, never dealt with hurt and pain and things that were done on me, and just constantly just took drugs just to numb it and just to try and... my only way I could exist was when I was stoned there in my head. And I remember one day, broken down in this addiction, I turned and I asked for help. And who came around the corner? Only my sister with the Bible thing again. And I'm like, do you ever take a day off? You know what I mean? Do you ever give us a break? Is there anything else? And there was nothing. I tried to give up drugs and all that many times. Tried to move away from Bray and all that kind of stuff, but it just got worse and worse. And my sister came along one day and she gave me a card for a fella that was working with addicts. And she says, give that guy a ring. He was in the church there the other day sharing his testimony. He was an alcoholic for 20 years and God had set him free. She said, keep on this God business. How is God going to set me free? You know, you're crazy to think that. And so in my desperation, gave the guy a ring and he came out to the house with me and he helped me here and he helped me there and he started sharing his testimony with me and all that kind of stuff. And eventually he got me into Teen Challenge over in the UK. And I went over there for 16 months. Now I tell you, it was the toughest experience of my life on a daily basis for people just to kind of, in some days it was like getting a scalpel and just sticking the scalpel in and just cutting my heart out. And the things that I had to deal with and the things that I had to let go of and the things that I had to try and get straight in my mind. And I hadn't got my heroin. Couldn't go and get stoned. Couldn't go and do anything like that. I had to deal with it. I had to grow up. And it was my most toughest experience that I ever went through. But the main thing that I went through in that experience was that I asked God to come into my life. And for the first time, I felt, as a young fellow from Bray that didn't know his arse from his elbow, that God wanted me. And that God wasn't ashamed of me. And that God didn't have a problem with me. And that if I asked him, he will. I never knew that. I never understood. I always thought God was against me. All through my young life, even going to Mass and going to this, I always thought God was against me. I always thought that God, if I met God, he's going to lighten a bolt, he's going to kill me. I was always hiding from God. And but for the very first time, especially in the program, when I asked God to come into my life, he came in. And I felt his presence. I felt a healing come into my life. Especially when it came to my relationship with my mother and my father and all this kind of stuff. A healing came in. And I started to straighten up, if you like. The longing for heroin started to leave me. The longing for drugs started to leave me. And for the very first time in my young life, I felt free. I felt that I could live without drugs. I felt that I didn't need them anymore. And it was an absolute breakthrough for me. And that's what I want to share about this morning. Everybody has a part in God. None of us are disenfranchised from God. Every one of us, God has a part to play in our life. God wants us. God doesn't have a problem with us. God's not angry with you. He's not even in a bad humor with you. He wants us every day. He wants us in our muck. Because I tell you, when I went over to the program, I went over there trying to rob people, trying to slagging people, trying to make a joke out of people. One day saying yeah, and the next day going behind their back and absolutely ripping the back off them. I went over there, but yet God still loved me. He still wanted me. He wanted me in the mess, and he wanted me in the freedom. Amen. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. I want to turn with your Bibles, if you have your Bibles with you, to Genesis 3. And stay with me on this. So that was one of the biggest things I used to do as a young Christian, was fall asleep in meetings. Stay with me. Stay with me on this. Because there's a breakthrough, I believe, in this. If you're hearing this, if you're here for the first time, you're not used to Christian messages, you're not used to in Christian meetings, stay with me. Don't drift away from me, because there's breakthrough on this, I believe. Amen? There's breakthrough on this. Now, in the very beginning, if you look at it like this, now I notice in my own heart, because as I say, at the start of my story, I felt, now I don't know where everybody is in this room, but I felt that I was separated from God. I felt that God had absolutely wanted nothing to do with me. And the reality was that I was separated from God. I was separated from God because of sin. And it says there in the very beginning in Genesis that Adam and Eve, when they ate the apple, sin came in. Rebellion came in, and a blockage came in between man and God. And that blockage caused us then to have to relate to God through religion. And It's the exact same thing what's happening nowadays. When we don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, we are separated from the presence of God because of sin. And that's why I felt like that as a young man. And that's why I used to take heroin, because heroin used to do what God is doing. Heroin, every time I took heroin, I didn't feel guilty. Every time I took heroin, I felt happy. Slept like a baby. Every time I took heroin, I felt loved. You see, it's a drug that's a counterfeit of what God wants to do in our lives. Every time I took heroin, I felt happy. I had no problems with the world. My neighbors used to think I was mad. Because one day, I wouldn't talk to them, I wouldn't even look at them, and I wouldn't even know they existed. And the next day, I'd be burning the ears off them. They couldn't get me away from them. And they used to think, this guy is off his head. But it wasn't. It was the heroin. It was the drugs. But you see, a relationship is blocked by God because we can't come to God because of our sin. The sin hasn't been dealt with. And I want to give you hope this morning, because he has dealt with the sin. He has dealt with the sin. There's no more blockage between us and God. It's finished. He finished it on the cross. And that brings us great hope to the point where we have access into God. No matter what mess you're in. No matter what state your life is in. No matter if you're absolutely on your backside and have been for years, God still is there for you. He is still there for you because he has dealt with it all on the cross. And I think that's an amazing thing. Because it says here, it says in Genesis 3, in Genesis 3:21, okay, it says, just let me get there, Genesis 3:21, don't fall asleep. So the Lord God banished the tree garden, and Adam cultivated the land. So it says that the man Adam and his wife and Eve, because she was the mother of all who lives, and the Lord God made clothing from them, from animal skins, for Adam and his wife. And you mightn't think that means anything. You mightn't think, where's he going with this stuff? But it's absolutely huge. Because Adam and Eve had sinned. They got it wrong. They made a mistake. Just like I did. They made a mistake. But the beautiful thing is that God came down to have fellowship with them. He was still interested in them. He didn't banish them. He didn't block them. He still wanted to spend time with them. Even in the midst of their mistake. Even when they got it completely wrong and absolutely wrecked everything, he still came down to talk to them. And that's the relationship that God has with all of us. That he still wants to talk to us. And the beautiful thing is that it was God who slaughtered an animal and covered their shame. So an innocent animal had to die. And you see, it was the lamb for the man. Right from the beginning, God was providing a way for us to have fellowship with him. Right from the very beginning. It was him that killed the animal, got the animal skins, and covered the man and the woman. It was him who provided. See, God provides a way out for us. We don't have to sit there. I want every person in this room to go home today thinking that I have access to God. That's my mission here this morning. I don't want any person to walk down them stairs thinking God doesn't want anything to do with me. Because you've been told 100 times that he does. And you're being given instruction from the word of God that he always did. He made a provision for us. He covered our sin with an innocent animal. A lamb for the man. Yeah? Let's turn with me to Genesis Exodus 12:12. Really quickly, I'm going to go through all this really quickly. Exodus 12:12. Really quickly. Exodus 12:12. Are you all with me? Now, again, we have another story. We have another story of God's provision. We have another story of God's way out. Not our way out. God's way out. See, as a young addict, I had no way out. My only way out was drugs. That was my only way. I had no way out. I had no language to God. I had no religion of any sorts. There was no way out. But you see, God came into my life and provided a way out. And he is still doing it to this day. It's Him that provides the way out. It's Him that provides the relationship. It's Him that provides access to God. And so it says there in the Passover, if you've ever read it and if you've ever studied it, that the Jewish people were coming out of Egypt, and the Pharaoh would not allow them out of Egypt. So God put plagues on Egypt until Pharaoh would let them out. And one of the plagues was, the last plague was at the Passover. And God said to them that, the angel of death is going to pass over the whole community. And if the only way that you will survive is if you get a lamb. And if you slaughter the lamb and put the blood of the lamb on the posts of the door, and when the angel of death goes past, and if he sees the blood, he will pass over and nobody will die. You see, God provided a way out for that. This is a lamb for the family. He provided a way out. You see, if he sees the blood, I will pass over. No harm will come to you. No harm will come to anybody in this room if you're under God. God will protect every man and woman in this room. God will provide a way out, a relationship with him that we can turn and that we can have an escape from death. Because before I knew God and before I was a Christian, I was dead. I'll be honest with you. I was as blind as anything. I didn't know my arse from my elbow. I didn't know what anything was about. All I knew was to take drugs. I didn't know how to navigate around anything. And when I gave my life to the Lord on a program, a light bulb went on. Literally, you know, you heard that 100 times. But literally, a light bulb went on and I could see my life for what it was. But also, I could see my way out, which is vitally important. I could see a way out where I used to sit there thinking, this is it. This is it forever. This is all I have. And to the point where you're thinking, I'm going to head off into the woods here and end it. Because there was no way out. This, I can't keep doing this forever. But when the blood was over my doorways, God had provided a way out. And for the very first time in my life, I had hope that I do not need to do this forever. That it can end. And I can have another life outside of this. So you see, it's a lamb for the family and a lamb for the man. Because it says there in Exodus 12:12, it says, on that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn son and firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. But the blood on your doorsteps will serve as a sign, marking houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over, and the plague of death will not touch you. Does anybody hear that this morning? When the blood is over me, death's gone. I'm not dead anymore. I'm alive now because of the blood. You see, it's a blood for the man. It's a blood for the family. Amen. And let's look at the blood for the nation. If you want to quickly turn with me, I hope you're still with me this morning. If you turn with me to Leviticus 16, all these strange books, Leviticus 16. Now, again, we're going back into history. But I'm hoping you're hearing the trust of my message here this morning. We're going back into history here again. Because in Leviticus 16, it talks about the Israeli nation have now set up for themselves a temple. And the temple is part of the nation of Israel. But part of the worship in the temple was that there was a place called the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies, there was a curtain going right across the Holy of Holies. And the curtain was on average 3 or 4 foot thick. And I think it was 30 or 40 foot high. And behind that curtain was the Ark of the Covenant. In other words, the presence of God. And no one was allowed to enter into that, only the high priest. Now, where are you going with all this, Eddie? I'm trying to get you to understand the blockage that we have between God and man, except for the blood. And so man was not allowed into that curtain, only the high priest once a year. And when he went in through the curtain, he had to sprinkle the blood. And it says there, the blood of a ram. And a ram is a male sheep. And only the blood of that ram for the nation gave that man access into the presence of God and into the Holy of Holies. Only the blood of the ram could enable him to have access. And so the high priest goes in, he sprinkles the blood, and he comes back out. Nobody was allowed in there. The presence of God was blocked from mankind. Just like it was blocked from me when I was a drug addict, when I was walking these streets and on these roofs, robbing all these places. Just like it was blocked from me. I had no access into the presence of God. I didn't even know there was a presence of God. I didn't even know that I could have any, that God wanted to have anything to do with me. Because there was, if you like, a massive big curtain block of me and the presence of God. And the only way that I could get in was through the blood of the Lamb. And you see here we're getting a picture of, so we have a lamb for the man. We have a lamb for the family. And now we have a lamb for the nation. A lamb for the nation. Because it says there in Leviticus, it says there that the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of Aaron, his two sons who died, for they entered the Lord's presence and burned the wrong kind of fire before him. And the Lord says, warn your brothers Aaron not to enter the most holy place behind the inner curtain whenever he chooses. If he does, he will die. For the ark of covers the place of atonement. Is there, and I myself will be present, and the cloud, cloud above the atonement cover. And so it talks about Aaron, no access, only through the blood of the ram. And so it's a lamb. I think I'm going to get this drilled into your heads. It's a lamb for the man. It's a lamb for the family. And now it's a lamb for the nation. So all through history, God is providing a way out for every one of you guys. You're not supplying it. God is supplying it. It's His will that we are free. He will do everything. He provides right through. He provides it right through. He gives it. And you see, when the high priest, when the ram was presented to the high priest, it had to be perfect in every way. It had to have no blemishes. If you study that, I don't have time to go into this morning. No blemishes, no imperfections. Everything about that ram had to be perfect. It was put before the high priest and he inspected it. And the person who was in charge of that ram would have kept it from a young lamb. He would have looked after it. He would have watched over it. He would have protected it and kept it. And he would have preserved it right up until the time that it was going to be sacrificed. Does that remind you of anybody? Does it remind you of anybody's life that had to be kept perfect, sinless, perfect before man, ready for the sacrifice? And he was presented before the high priest, wasn't he? And the high priest inspected him, didn't he? And what did he find in him? No fault. Why? Because if you look at John 3:16, I think it's nowhere I'm going with this. John 3:16. What does John 3:16 say, guys? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you want me to say it again? Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, God is providing all the time. He is providing the lamb. He is providing the sacrifice for us. We have nothing to do with it. I want to get that into your heads. Because if you think you have something to do with it, you will really struggle. And by the time you get to the end of that stairs, you will just forget about it. Because you know in your own hearts, you can't be perfect. You know, I knew in my own heart, that's why I really struggled with Christianity and my sister and all that. I really struggled with them. Oh, here's all the holy joes. Oh, here's all the perfect people with all their hair perfect and all their clothes perfect. And I was really cynical at them all. Yeah, I'm going to a meeting and you're afraid to bloom and look left or right in these meetings because they'll all judge you and condemn you. And then when I went over to the program, I had a serious problem with all these guys with the big fancy suits and all and the perfect hair and all that kind of stuff. I'm looking, how can I ever be one of you? Because I used to think that being a Christian means to be holy and to be perfect and to get it right all the time. But can I tell you something? Let's just all in a little secret. I don't get it right all the time. No, we never get it right all the time. You know who gets it right all the time? He does. I don't have to trust in me anymore. I thank you, Lord, that weight is being taken off my shoulders. I make mistakes all the time. I make mistakes in my past. I make mistakes in my present, and I'll make mistakes in my future. But you know what? God has provided a lamb for me. He has provided a lamb for me. I am free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. You know what we love to do as Irish people? You know what we love to do, especially people coming from a certain Catholic background or whatever. You know what we love to do? We love to suffer. We love to add to things. We love to make things happen, don't we? We love to, it's like, I don't mean to be irreverent or anything like that, but it's like if you have Christ on the cross, we love to get our own cross and get a ladder and rope beside him and suffer with him. And we bring a religious spirit into it. And it brings hope. If you see me as an addict and someone brought that into my life, way out of that, I'd be gone. Because there's no way I could ever have done that. But some people are comfortable in that. They like to come into church and say, I've prayed 10 hours this week. I've read my Bible from back to cover 10 times. I'm preaching the message. I'm just giving my neighbours loads and doing this and doing that. And then, but what did you do this week? I didn't do anything. Oh, did you not? And they like to pour it on people, pour it on people, pour it on people. They like to add to their salvation and be a co-worker with Jesus in their salvation, which is, and I'll say you this, and I know I'm going to get controversial, but see Rob afterwards. If we bring anything to it, that gets God to love us and saves us, it's Antichrist. I'll say that again. It's Antichrist. If we go to God and say, look what I've done now, God, for you, that's Antichrist. Because God never looks at us in that sense. It's Him that has set us free. Nothing I do. I love that. That's what gave me the breakthrough when I was on that program. Because I see all these guys with all their hair perfect and their perfect suits and all that kind of stuff. And then another fella came to me one day and he hadn't got his hair perfect and he hadn't got a perfect suit and he hadn't got, and he was a broken down drug addict himself and he told me God loves me and then I believed him. Nothing against suits or anything like that. But it was real. Because he says, I'm just as much as the mess as you, brother. But God loves the both of us. And God sets the both of us free. And I tell you one thing, I got it. It dropped. God does love me. And it's nothing to do with me. And the more you realize that and say, it was God's provision, not mine, that will set you free. I will set you free. Cutting is torn in two. I will set you free. Because when Jesus died on the cross, if you read your Gospels, that curtain that I talked about, which is 3 foot thick, and this has happened in history as well, because a man called Josephus wrote about it, that curtain split in two. And the whole Holy of Holies was exposed. But it was a type, because now every man has access into the Holy of Holies. But then we, as a little religious spirit, gets a big needle and thread and we start stitching it up again. We start closing her up again because we don't think we have access until we pray 10 hours a week, until we read 14 chapters of the Bible, until we lead 10 people to the Lord every week. And if we don't, then it's stitch that curtain back up because God doesn't want to know me. And there's no freedom in that. There's just bondage. A religious spirit that traps us all and no one gets hope from it. And I hope that every person in this room leaves this place this morning knowing that God always has access. You have always have access to God in your mess and in your victories. You have always have access. I don't care what stage your gap is in. I don't care what stage your life is in. I don't care what mistakes you're making. I don't care because he doesn't care. Why? Because Jesus took the punishment. He made a way. He provided us access into him. And how dare we say we don't have access? How dare we turn around and say, God doesn't want to know me. Why? Because I'm getting it wrong all the time. That's wrong. Thank you for that one amen. Amen. That's wrong. See, people are getting confused. I don't have to pray anymore. No, that's wrong. Of course you can pray. I don't have to read my Bible anymore. No, of course you can read your Bible. That's all good. But if you're reading your Bible to get God to love you, it's all wrong. If you're reading your Bible to get God to give you the wink and tell you you're all right, that's wrong. That's antichrist. You're diluting the power of what Jesus has done. And I tell you, when I got that, and when I got that breakthrough, I read my Bible more than I ever done. I witnessed to more people more than I ever did. Because it's done out of love, not out of works. I almost become a Christian by accident. I'm not working there anymore. It just naturally flows out of me. Because I know God loves me if I don't do it. Are we getting that? Because I know God's mad about me. If I never shared another scripture to anybody the rest of my life, he still loves me. There's people, religious spirit in here that want to jump out that window. Because that's the whole life. That's been all that faith probably up until now. But you know what? God has always wants to know us. He loves us. He cares for us. Let's look at John 1. And I'm nearly finished. John 1, 20-29. It says, the next day, talking with John the Baptist, John saw Jesus coming towards him and he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So it's a lamb for the man, a lamb for the family, a lamb for the nation. And now it's a lamb for the whole world. God providing right the way through. Not you. You have nothing to do with it. It's God's lamb. His sacrifice for me. I don't have to add to it. I can't. And I can't. I won't dilute it. It's God's lamb for the world. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And now, when we walk out there and we go out into our lives, we can always have in our heads, you know what? God wants to know me. I have access to God. God is interested in me. I'm not disenfranchised with God anymore. Janie Mack, when I went to those Christian churches, I thought I had to join a club and get the badge and start dressing like them and looking like them and brushing my hair like them. But it's not. It's completely wrong. All I need to do is believe in this Lamb. And I have access to God 24/7, always. And when you do that, you will see God starting to drop things off your life. Because what sin does is destroys us. But it doesn't block us from God. Because Jesus took all our sin. Again, all the religious spirit out that window. Where are you going with this, Eddie? All my sin is forgiven me. Past, present, and future. Jesus has dealt with it all on the cross. Every sin of the world was put on him. The sin of mankind was put on him on the cross. Everything that I'm about to do, I'm forgiven for sins I haven't even committed yet. It's all covered. I am free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm not free from one sin to the next. Because then we get into all this confession stuff. It's good to confess our sins to one another in our struggles. But all our sin is forgiven. It's gone. It's dealt with. And so I live in freedom, not in condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For those who are in Christ Jesus. And once you get that, you'll start to see it drop off your life. You will just see it drop off your life because I know God still loves me. People saying a couple of years ago, I'll finish with this. A couple of years ago, I think it was the time of September 11th, a good few years ago. And they were saying that God has judged New York. You know, and the people were saying, if God doesn't judge New York, he needs to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. But I tell you this. If God judges New York, he needs to apologize to Jesus. Because Jesus took every judgment. For every nation. For the whole world. He took everything. That's how powerful the cross is. He took everything. All my sin. Everything. All my nastiness. All my cynicism. All my regrets. All my failure. Everything. He took it. And now I am free. And I'm free to preach that message and bring hope to people. Even in the depths of your despair, you can go to him. Even in the depths of your failure, you have access to him. I love that. Even when you're on your knees, he's there. Because you know what a religious spirit does? You sit there and you're thinking, okay, I am really desperate. I am broken. I'm not going to that church now because he'll all just judge me. I am really sick of this. I am really sick of that. But I'm not ringing my Christian friends because all they'll do is tell me how bad I am. I'm not doing this. I'm not going here. I don't feel I'm guilty to bits when I walk up that stairs. Why? Because I feel that everybody's judging me. But if we get into our heart that God doesn't judge me, then we're free. Because he doesn't judge us. He judged Jesus. He took the judgment. All I need to do is believe. Because he's my lamb. He's my lamb. God has provided a lamb for me. That I can live and be free. And I tell you one thing. See this stuff if you get it. And I believe, most of us have got it. It just puts everything in a heavenly place. Did for me anyway. I never gave up drugs in my life. Never. Still didn't. So Philip will tell you, he's heard this before. I've never gave up drugs. Never. I tried it, but I couldn't. I never gave up drugs. Never. Never tried it. I always failed. It just fell away from me. I have no need for it anymore. Because I have him. Because he meets the need that heroin used to meet. He provides everything that heroin used to provide. Heroin comes at a high cost. He took all the cost. He provided for me and he set me free. Let's stand. Let's stand. It says in Revelations 5. Let's stand, guys. It says in Revelations 5. It says that. It talks about John looking to see who can open the scroll. I haven't got time to go there. And the only one in heaven that could be found that was worthy to open the scroll was the lamb. And John seen a lamb, a slaughtered lamb. And then he seen the lamb sitting at the right hand of God. And that lamb was Jesus. And you see, he becomes a lamb for the man. He becomes a lamb for the family. He becomes a lamb for the nation. He becomes a lamb for the world. And then he becomes a lamb for eternity. My eternity is in the Lord. If I was to drop dead this minute, I'm going to be with him. I used to fear death all the time because I lived close to death. As an intravenous drug user, you could die at any minute. And I used to fear death. It's been close to death every day. But God took that fear away from me. That was the first big thing he'd done in me. I didn't fear death anymore. Isn't that a tremendous thing? Why? Because my lamb has set me free. I am free from the fear of death. I fear how I'm going to die. Of course I do. But I don't fear death itself. Death, oh death, where is your sting? I am going to live for eternity with him. This is only a brief life that I'm going to live. This is only a few years on this planet, but I am going to be with him. Does that not get you going? Does that not excite you? I'm going to throw this thing through that window. Does that not get you going? That we have been set free. Set free from drugs and drink and sin. The punishment of sin. Set free from religious spirits. Set free from being condemned. setting free from being confused, in doubt, setting free from all that kind of stuff, and also set free from death. Surely that would get you excited. Setting free from being condemned and feeling guilty all the time. Setting free from having to look to the world for its answers and knowing that there's no answers left. But He has all the answers. I love that about the Lord. I love that about my Christianity, that He changed me. But also He fixed me. But also He gave me a hope to live for. Amen.